Good. Well, good morning, everyone.
Morning,
Lee. Good, good. So I sat down to prepare this morning's message on Monday of this week, last week. I spent a good couple of hours just sitting and waiting on God. You know, what do you want to say this morning? And I felt really strongly that he wanted to say something, a specific message. So I was like, right, okay. So I was trying to write this message and nothing was coming. And I'm like, well, I can't do this on my own. I need you to give me some wisdom here. And nothing was coming. So I was like, fine, I'll rest, take a break. Then Wednesday, while you were all watching the World Cup, I was here trying to write this message again. The sacrifices I make. It wasn't a sacrifice. I don't like football at all. But I was here trying to write this message, and again, I started writing it, and I wrote like, you know, I don't know, 5 pages or something, but it was really hard work. I was really having to drag it out. It was like speaking to a teenager and trying to get information. I was like, ugh, trying to get this message. I was like, okay, so maybe I've got it wrong. So I took another break. Thursday was life group, so we had life group, and Joanne prayed that I'd get some wisdom. And then actually there was something on the Wednesday, so after I'd got home late at night, I should have gone to bed, but we watched this TV program. Anyone heard of This Is Us? It's an American TV program that follows a family with 3 children and their journey. And there was this scene in that episode that really touched me, and it was this scene between a father and his son, and we'll take a look at it later on. And it really hit me that, you know, it was like an example of God's love, of his father heart for us. And so on that, you know, when I saw that, I was like, oh, well, maybe that's something. But I just kind of thought on it. And then Friday, I was like, right, well, I've got to get this message written because Sunday's coming. So I sat down and I was like, do you know what? I'm not going to just plow into this message. I'm going to cheat. Because normally what I do is I write a message and then I turn up on Sunday and we sing some songs, and I'm like, oh, okay, so I'm right, because the songs we're singing are relevant to the message, but I thought, I'll cheat. So I had a quick look ahead, what songs are we singing? Good, Good Father, so I'm talking about the father heart and God's heart for us. Good, Good Father was on the list. I was like, yes, come on, this must be right. And then Reckless Love as well, I was like, flipping heck, this is incredible. So I really encourage you this morning to lean in, because, you know, this is a rhema word that we're getting from heaven this morning. God really has something to say, and I'm confident in that. So that's good. That's a little bit of my journey. I probably shouldn't say that much about how difficult it is to preach, but, you know, we all go on these journeys. So what I'm going to do is we're going to read from a portion of Scripture in Ephesians, which is what we're going through in life groups at the minute, and then we're going to get into this message. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 3. So Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 3. It says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon us in all his wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he has sent forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So let's just pray before we get into this. Lord God, we just thank you that you're here. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're moving amongst us and you're already challenging people and opening hearts and minds. And I just pray this morning that as we open your word, as we get into to hear what it is that you've got to say to us this morning, that you'll speak to us, to each and every one of us, with something specific and relevant to us where we are right now. In Jesus' name, amen. So from cover to cover, the Bible is a book that reveals God to us. You know, it begins in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and then it ends with this revelation of Jesus Christ returning to earth to welcome us into his Father's arms. And when Jesus was on earth and he was going about his ministry, he was really intentional about the way that he lived his life. You know, he wanted to demonstrate the Father's love to us in everything that he said and in everything that he did. And he told the disciples that. He said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." So he was saying that if you see what I do, if you see how I act, then that's how the Father acts. That's how my Father acts. The glory and the power of God is so great and so impressive and so mighty that we can never really fully comprehend how great his love is for us. So if we're truly to get a glimpse of that, if we're truly to get even a smidge of understanding of how much he loves us, then he needed to reveal that to us, and that's what he did through Christ. Christ came to earth and he embodied the Father heart, and he embodied his Father, and he walked that out and he lived that out in the way he went about his ministry, and he showed people through loving them, through caring for them, through being there, through listening, how the Father loves us. And week in, week out at the minute, I'm drawn back to this simple verse, "Seek first the kingdom of God." God keeps telling me, "Fix your eyes on me. Seek me first. Just keep looking at me. Don't worry about everything else." You know, the Bible shows us that as we live our lives, we should be God-centered. Paul says in Romans, he says, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever." And so as Paul begins to magnificently unfold the gospel, he points us to being radically God-centered. So at the very beginning of this chapter in Ephesians, there's this repetition and this emphasis on God the Father and on Jesus Christ. He says, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And there's this repetition of God the Father and of Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying, this is what's important. This is where to fix your eyes. This is what to focus on so that you can go about your life. And we'll see as we work through the passage this morning just how much it focuses on this idea of being radically God-centered. So I don't know where the other life groups are up to. I know we sometimes get a bit out of sync, but this week we started looking at Ephesians 4. And Paul begins that chapter, "I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love." I urge you to walk in a manner that you have been called. And then he reminds us what that is, what that looks like. Now, last week I had the privilege of going to the AOG Training Centre over near Doncaster and spent a week there with the National Leadership Team, getting some teaching and stuff, and it was great to meet other people. But I was able to find some time that week to just sit and be in God's presence and hear from him. And that's exactly what God was telling me as I just kind of paused and rested in him for a bit. He was urging me, "Don't forget, this is what you're supposed to be like. You're supposed to be humble. You're supposed to be gentle. You're supposed to be patient and bear with one another in love." Sometimes it sounds simple, but I know in our humanity that living like that can be tough. This world that we live in, it pulls us in a million and one different directions, and it goes against everything that God tells us to be. He says to be patient. He says to be gentle. He says to be humble. But the world is telling us to be self-centered. The world is telling us to think about ourselves. The world is telling us to focus on stuff. the world is telling us this and that, and it contradicts what the Bible says. So we need to be strong, which is why we need God to urge us. That word, I urge you. It's a real strong sense of, you need to do this. Hear what I'm saying. Get hold of this message. We're so self-centered and self-involved, but the message of the Bible acts in a way to urge us back to God. Come back to me. Hear what I'm saying. Humble yourselves before me so that we may know not only who we are, but whose we are. For him, through him, in him, all things. Do you know, we can't start by examining ourselves and our own needs first. We need to start by looking at God. We need to start by focusing ourselves on him. Forget ourselves and fix our eyes on God. Do you know when God opens your eyes to get a glimpse of his glory and of his majesty and his holiness and his power and his wisdom, it's then that we realize just how much actually we need him, because we're so far from the mark. When he touches us and he reveals within us the things that we do wrong, it's then that we realize, oh yeah, I can't do this on my own. I need you. I need you. So he urges us, come back to me. Walk in the way that you should walk. But when we see his love, we realize that there's nothing that we could ever do. There's nothing we could ever do to bring us closer to him than we are right now. His overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love, it grabs us and crushes us in this giant bear hug when we realize just how much he loves us. Do you know, if you think that you can bring anything to the table, if you think that you can do anything or say anything to God in order to gain salvation, then you've missed the point of the gospel. And it's one of the greatest things that keeps people away from getting hold of this gospel truth of salvation, because the world says you need to achieve, you need to do good things, you need to be a good person. But God says, no, just come to me, come as you are. Come as you are. You can't do anything. I've already done it on your behalf. We don't need to be good. We don't need to strive to do these things. We don't need to struggle to attain to this idea of perfection. Come as you are. The gift of salvation is free. And that's the meaning of the word grace. That's the meaning of the word grace. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it in any way. But have it. God says, here you go, it's yours. You can have it for free. It takes nothing but an acknowledgement of me and of what I did. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works. So stop striving. Stop struggling to attain to this idea of perfection and just rest in the knowledge that God loves you anyway. God loves you anyway, however you are. However badly you may think of yourselves, God loves you anyway. And this goes back to that understanding of God's glory. If actually we were to contribute anything towards our salvation, then we'd be sharing in God's glory, and that's not right. It all comes through God, by God, in his grace. And then he gets all the glory, because we don't deserve any of it. It's all because of him. You must increase, I must decrease. So we can only come to God when we're empty-handed, when we realize that we're deserving of nothing, when we realize that we can give nothing and do nothing and say nothing. We can just say, God, here I am. This is me. And he says, I love you. I love you just the way you are. And when we approach him in that way, he is pleased and honored to pour out his blessing upon us. So this passage says that our Father has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. It doesn't say, I bless you with the latest gadgets and a massive house and 5 cars. That would be nice though, wouldn't it? It says, I bless you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. you know, like I mentioned a couple of weeks ago when I was preaching, he sees our true need. He looks at our heart and he says, I know exactly what you need and I will provide for you. I will bless you with that. It may be exactly what we want. It may be exactly what we want. Or it might be what we didn't realize, but we need it anyway. Our spiritual needs will be blessed to us by God, by being in relationship with him. Because by being in relationship with him, we have access to all that heaven has to offer, all the promises of God that are written throughout Scripture. Do you know, we might not admit it, we might not be willing to stand up and say this, but, you know, I think when we read that, you know, God's going to bless us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, well, that's great, but can I have some earthly blessing too, please? That'd be kind of nice. Because, you know, the world has taught us that we need to like, that we want to like stuff and we want to have things and we want to go on nice holidays. So it's this kind of pull, this internal battle that we have between our flesh and our spiritual man. We have to realize that God knows us and God loves us and God knows exactly what it is that we need. So we just need to trust in him and say, do you know what? Maybe I don't need that amazing holiday or that massive house or whatever it is that we're really striving for if we're acknowledging that. And he says, do you know what I know that you need? You need this right now, and he'll bless us with that. Our treasures and our blessings are all in Christ, in the heavenly places. Our greatest need is spiritual, and it says that we have every spiritual blessing in him. So when Paul was writing this letter to the Ephesians, he was actually in prison, and he was chained up. So every time he moved, he will have felt the weight of these chains, and he will have heard the rattle of the bondage that he was in and that situation that he was facing. So if anyone needed their physical needs meeting at any one time, it was Paul. But here he was saying, no, focus on the spiritual needs. Focus on the spiritual blessings. He chose to seek first the kingdom instead of saying, why am I stuck in this situation? Why am I in prison? What have I done to deserve this? He said he was encouraging people not to think like that. He was encouraging people to focus on God because he knew that his identity in Christ was all that he needed. He knew that his identity in Christ would sustain him through the situation that he was facing in the same way that it will sustain you, no matter what it is that you're facing. Whatever difficulties you face, God's love will sustain you. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. He'll bless us, not only with salvation, but with an open and free relationship with our Father. He'll give us everything that we need as well. He wants to bless us. We are a blessed people. It says in Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Well, that sounds exciting. Oh, what are we desiring for this morning? Yeah, well, that verse is also talking about salvation, not stuff. So again, it's encouraging us to fix our eyes on God and to not think about our physical needs, but to think about our spiritual needs and what we need in order to walk in the path that God's put us on, what we need in order to carry out his will in our lives. And those are the things that he will bless us with. Those are the things that he will add to us. So again, it's encouraging us to be committed to him and to trust in him, and he'll sustain us throughout. But you know, the reality is that when we do walk with God and when we are fixing our eyes on him and when we are seeking first the kingdom of God, he does love to bless us. He loves to surprise us as any father would, and he knows us better than we know ourselves. So when he blesses us with something, he blesses us with exactly what it is that we need. Now, some of you might know that we'd planned to go to London earlier this year, and we had to cancel our trip because Caleb got chickenpox. And I think chicken pox on a train and then on the tube is probably not a good idea. So we cancelled this trip, and it's something that we'd been planning since the back end of last year. We were really excited about it. And so there was obviously this feeling of disappointment. And it wasn't just in us, it was the kids as well, because it was actually Caleb's idea, let's go to London. So he was really disappointed, and you know, throughout it was like, oh, I'm feeling better, can we go tomorrow? And I was like, oh, you know, we can't do that. And so my heart was breaking for him, because you know, he was so excited about this trip, and we had to cancel it. So as any father would, I wanted to bless him with something that would make him feel a little bit better. I wanted to give him something that would make him happy. And I knew exactly what it is that he would want to make him happy. And I am talking about stuff now, because that's all I can really provide for him. And I knew that he wanted this thing, because he'd been asking for it for months. Or not asking for it, but talking about it for months. He wanted a Lego Batman movie, Joker, lowrider car. He was very specific. It comes with Harley Quinn and the Joker and Batgirl. And he was very specific about, this thing that I want. But he wasn't expecting it at that moment. He was just, you know, he was quite happy and content being at home. But I knew that he was disappointed, that he missed out on this trip. So we bought him, well, okay, so that toy's 40 quid. So we didn't buy him that, but we did buy him a Lego Batman Joker toy that was, you know, fairly similar, about half the price. And when I gave him this box and I said, you know, we know you're disappointed about missing out on the trip to London, but have this gift. And you know, his face when he got the box, and he didn't know what was in it. And then the anticipation of him opening this box. And then when he opened it and he took it out, it was like, wow, this is exactly what I wanted. This is exactly what I wanted. Oh my gosh. Just my heart melted. It felt so good to give. It felt so good to bless him. I wanted to bless him, and I knew what he wanted. I knew what would make him happy. And it did. And that feeling that came over me is nothing in comparison to the feeling that God gets when he blesses us, because he knows exactly what it is that we want. He knows the desires of our heart. And if I know how to give good gifts to my children, how much more, it says, how much more our Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him. He wants to bless us, and he knows us inside and out better than we know ourselves. Ask and you shall receive, yeah. So he sees our hearts, and he wants to bless us, and he wants to pour out gifts on us. He is a good, good father. It's incredible. You know, I learned a really important lesson last week, again, while I was at Mattersea Bible College, and it was not to say no on other people's behalf. Not to say no on other people's behalf. So I think oftentimes when we want to approach someone about something, we have this dialogue of how it might go before we actually have the conversation. So for example, if I want to go out with my friends, I obviously have to ask permission from Ruth first. So I might have this dialogue in my head of how that might go. So I might say, oh, can I go out this night? Well, no, because the kids are being mental, so you definitely can't go. So I'll have this dialogue in my head about how it might go, and then that might determine whether or not I even ask the question. So I might have had this conversation in my head, oh no, she's definitely going to say no, so I won't bother asking. But actually, if I just ask the question, then I give her the chance to say no. Not that she says no often, that paints her in a bad light, and that's not fair. But it's, you get my point. So what we can't do is have this dialogue with ourselves. We need to actually go to people and ask for them. And sometimes we're like that with God, because we have issues and we realize that the world is so big and there's so many billions of people in the world. He must be incredibly busy. So why would I bother him with this tiny little issue that I've got? So we say no on his behalf because we don't bother asking him, because we think in our heads, oh, well, he's too busy for me. He won't have time for me. But we can't live like that. We can't say no on his behalf. We have to give him the opportunity to. So no matter how big or how small your request, take it to God. Take it to God and say, do you know, this is important to me. This is something that I'm longing for. This is something that I really want or I really need, you know, please will you help me? Take it to him. Give it to him. Don't say no for him. Give him the chance to respond. because he is our Heavenly Father and he loves to bless us. In the same way that we love to bless our kids, he loves to pour out his blessings on us, and he just wants to pour it out and pour it out and pour it out and keep pouring it out more and more and more. He is for us. He loves us so much that we just can't even begin to comprehend it. And when we know God, when we're walking with him, he wants to bless us. But then here we are, because actually when someone loves us that much, we want to give something back, don't we? We want to say thank you in a physical way. So here I am, with an understanding of how much my Heavenly Father loves me, and I say, well, I can put this financial gesture into the offering bucket. It's not a lot, but have it, it's yours. Or I can turn up on a Sunday and I can say, here I am, I'm going to give you this morning. I'm going to worship you and I'm going to sit and listen, or I'm going to speak. Have this time. This is my offering to you. Or we might say, you know, this is my life. You can have it. You can use me in whatever way you want to use me, because you've given me so much. You've given me life. So let me give you something back in return. Take my life. Use it in whatever way you see fit. But even that feels so insignificant to a God and a Father who blesses us so abundantly. It feels insignificant, but do you know, he doesn't want anything from us. He doesn't want anything. He loves it when we give to him, but he doesn't need it. He doesn't need it. He doesn't necessarily want it from us. He doesn't expect it from us. But when we give something back, it warms his heart. You just got to see it as a, in the same way that a physical father might love their children and you might bless your children. And when they do something good for you, it makes you feel good. He's exactly the same, except exponentially greater. We are blessed. We are a blessed people. But not only that, we're chosen. It says in our passage this morning, starting from verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. He chose us. He chose us. He picked you. He said, I want you. Do you know, we might sit there and think, well, why? Why would he choose me? What makes me different? What makes me special? Well, let me tell you, absolutely nothing makes you special. And it's that kind of questioning that takes us out of God and back into ourselves, because it says there's something about me, but there's not. There's nothing about you that makes you different from the next person, that makes you any more or any less deserving of God's love. There's nothing. Because we're all sinners. We all fall short of his love. We're all unable to attain to his level of perfection. We're unworthy to choose God. But we don't have to, because he chose us. We're not talking about our choice for him. We're talking about God's choice. And when God's love reached out to the loveless and to the unlovable, he reached out to you and he reached out to me. He said, I want you, I choose you, and I won't stop loving you. His love loved us because that is what he is pleased to do. His love loved us because that is what he is pleased to do. And it was his goodwill to save sinners. It was his goodwill to choose you and to choose me. We are his adopted children. We're his adopted children. And Ruth said a few weeks back about how back in the time of Jesus that actually adopted children had more rights than birth children. He chose us. He has adopted us into his family. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And that same love and pleasure and will has chosen you, despite of who you are. God chose us according to his perfect will. So stand firm on that foundation, climb on the back of that firm foundation. Faith is being sure of what we hope for. So God's choice is not based on us. It's not based on anything we can do or anything we can say. It's just based on His will. It was His choice to choose us, and He chose us. You can have a confidence knowing that you have been chosen by God, and it's not a confidence based on your skills or your ability. That's just arrogance. Our confidence is built on God's will. And that confidence goes forward that even if the goals or the plans that I make fail, God's will prevail. Even if the plans that I make fail, God's will prevails. And that's all that matters. For His good will has chosen me in Christ to be blameless and holy before Him, to be adopted as His son, and to receive all the blessings of heaven. All of the spiritual blessings of heaven are available to us. And it's out of that confidence that God's good will can't fail that we want to make choices that bring Him glory. Because we have to respond to this love. When we really get a revelation of how much God loves us, there's a natural response that bursts out of us to want to please Him, to want to give Him the glory. So we begin to make choices in our life that please Him. God chose us to live for His glory. And that glory then underlies our choices as Christians. We start to ask ourselves, what can I do that will bring glory and praise to my God and my Savior? What can I do? What can I say? What can I bring? Not because He needs it, not because He wants it, but because we realize how much He loves us and we want to give something back to Him. So the text continues in verse 5. In love, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. Throughout the good and the bad that life throws at us, we need to ask ourselves, how can my words, how can my actions bring praise and bring glory to God? How can my life better reflect the Father? Whether that's at work or at college or with friends or with families, let our lives be honoring to Him because that pleases Him. You know, we started this morning looking at Paul's focus on living a God-centered life, and it comes full circle because in order to live this life, in order to give something back, in order for our lifestyles to reflect Him, we need to be focused on Him because we can't walk in Him without Him. We can't reflect His love without knowing His love, so we need to be centered on God. We need to be seeking first the kingdom of God. We need to be fixing our eyes on Him. You know, it says that we were chosen before we were even created, and I can believe that God chose me before I was created, because if He chose me after I was created, He'd have seen what a mess I was and probably wouldn't have chosen me. But He chose us before we were created. He chose us before we were created. He chose you. He chose me. So let His choice, let Him choosing us be reflected and impact the way we live our lives on a daily basis. And not just when things are going well, but when best laid plans fall apart and life is feeling rubbish, we are still chosen. So choose to love Him. Choose to reflect Him. God chose you according to His will. Every spiritual blessing in heaven is yours. He paid the price. He gave everything so that we could have everything. God chose you. I hope you're getting a sense of this morning. God is crazy about each and every one of us. If God had a fridge, He would have a picture of you stuck on it. If God had a wallet, He would be opening it up to show people the picture of all of His kids inside His wallet. Whenever you want to talk to Him, He'll listen. Whenever you want to ask Him something, He's there. You might go days without thinking about him, but there's not a moment goes by when he's not thinking about you. And the second you decide to turn around, the second you decide to look back at him, he's there with eager anticipation, waiting to hear whatever it is that you've got to say. However big or little, he's there because he can't wait to hear a little bit more about your life. And the thing that just is so incredible is that he knows it all anyway. He knows everything that's going on in our lives, and yet he's so keen to listen to us. I think in our humanity, if we knew something about someone and then they came to tell us, we'd kind of half listen, wouldn't we? We'd kind of be like, oh yeah, or we'd cut them off. Oh, I know that. But he's there, waiting to listen to us. And he listened to us intently. He listens to us intently. He chose us. No matter what we say, no matter what we do, he chose us, and he'll never stop. I won't stop. He'll never stop fighting for us. We're talking about the Creator, the one who gave us life, the one who sacrificed everything for us, the one who loves you no matter how many times you ignore him or shout at him or curse him or turn away from him. This is the God who leaves the 99 for the one. When we turn away from him, he won't stop looking for us. When we're hurting, he won't stop comforting us. When we're lonely, he won't stop loving us. He won't stop. He won't stop. He won't stop. And we shouldn't either. So no matter what life throws at you, don't emotionally and spiritually check out from God. Don't give up. Don't walk away. Keep going. Stay strong. Stay faithful. Continue to live a life of honor to him, because we are blessed and we are chosen. Let's pray.